following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
We are going to be in 1 John chapter 5 this morning, and you're going to want to turn there either on your phone or on the Bible that you brought with you, but 1 John chapter 5. And as you're turning there, I just wanted to share that over this last year, Refuge has been an anchor for me and for my family. I think back to the beginning of 2020 and not knowing even what was going to go on, but knowing that my kids no longer went to school any longer. They were at home all the time, right? And that stores and places that we used to go were no longer open. And Refuge really in those moments, as everything seemed to be changing all around us, and even a little of fear of like, God, what is this thing that's happening, right? Refuge became an anchor for us. And even though it was kind of weird, but we were online, like that was how we went to church initially as things started off. Everybody just kind of went to online. Even just showing up on a Sunday morning with my family, it was kind of fun in some ways. My family and I all got to sit in the living room together and be at church together, which is hardly ever the case because I'm usually here. And so it was cool for us to sit together in the living room and see Pastor Bill, even if it was on a screen. But there was something very normal, natural, and anchoring for us. That Refuge in this last year is really, for so many ways, I think about Wednesday nights in the summer with the tent set up here and worship being had and time of fellowship and eating together. And there was something normal that we needed in that season that Refuge provided for us. And I'm so thankful for that. And I think even just like the fact that I can come on a Sunday or on a Wednesday night, or if you're a woman coming on Tuesday, women's ministry or men's ministry on Thursday, and hearing the word of God be taught and just reminded about who I am in the Lord, who the Lord is, that I can have confidence. There's something anchoring about that. And we talk about an anchor because the image that I get is of a boat. And it's out there in the ocean, and the wind and the waves want to move that boat either down the coast or out to sea. And it's constantly at work pushing on that boat, trying to move it away from its owner, right? It wants it to drift down the way. And yet, what's the thing that keeps the boat where it's supposed to be? An anchor. It's an anchor grounded in the depth of the ocean, holding that boat tight, not allowing it to move away. And I just would say to you, for me and for my family in this last year plus, Refuge has been an anchor. I just think one more thing is, as I'm just saying this, like I think about Wednesday nights when my kids, you know, they've been home all day schooling and now they have a place they can come and be with people that they care about and know and have gotten to love. And it's like, it's so good for them to just to be out and be with their friends, and Refuge has provided that. Now, I will just say this. This building is not the anchor. Yeah, I'm absolutely thankful for this building and the ministry that goes on a weekly basis here in this place. And to some level, it is some form of an anchor, but it's not the anchor. And I'm thankful for y'all who are part of the fact that when I think about Refuge, I think about you. I think about you are part of the anchor that my family gets to enjoy and come, and I get to be friends with, and we're a family together. There's something anchoring about that. But ultimately, we are not the anchor. Who's the anchor? Jesus is the anchor. In fact, maybe in this season, you would say, yeah, the times that stood out to me the most were the quiet times that I spent with the Lord, calling out to him, saying, God, what are you doing? God, what is going on? The economics have been hit. My economics have been hit. My job has been hit. And maybe my health has been hit. What about the loss of my friend or the loss of a relative? Like, God, what's going on? Maybe the anchor you found in those moments was just time with the Lord. Because ultimately, he is our anchor. We are just representatives of him, right? We're the body of Christ, the Bible says. So when people come here, they should experience the anchor. But we are not the anchor. We point to the anchor. In fact, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says this, "This hope we have as an anchor of our soul." And that's hope in Jesus, hope of a life with him in eternity. "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul," is what Hebrews says. "As an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." I imagine maybe someone here this morning has come and they've wondered, where can I anchor myself in this season with so many things being tossed around, truths and ideas, and what is true, and where do I anchor myself? And things in my life have changed so radically. And will things ever go back to the way they were? And you've been that boat out in the ocean being hit by waves and currents and wind trying to put you out to sea. And you're wondering, and maybe you feel like, I'm out to sea now. Maybe I'm out to lunch right now. I don't know, right? Maybe I'm out there and I'm just trying to find some place where I can find grounding. I think that the Lord provides that. The Lord becomes the anchor to our soul. The very core of who we are, God is the anchor to our soul. I want to give you four anchors based on our passage in 1 John chapter 5 this morning. Four anchors. Now, here's the amazing thing. If you're a note taker, right? You always know where we're at. So when we get to number two, I know we're halfway there, right? There's not five anchors. There's not seven. There's four. So if I write those down, not only the fact that I could later on go back and think, what did he say again? I don't remember. Oh, four anchors, right? You'll always have that as a note taker. So here, I got four anchors for you this morning based on our passage. Now, John is writing to believers, and he's writing to them so they will have confidence in their faith. Confidence of who they are in the Lord. And maybe that's for you this morning. Maybe you just say, man, I'm really wrestling. I'm wrestling with my belief or with my faith. And I could use some anchors this morning, Jeff. Well, let me give you four of them. The first anchor is going to be this. For those who believe in Jesus, they can live with knowing they have eternal life. For those that have put their faith and believe in Jesus, they can live, you and I can live with knowing that we have eternal life. In other words, this is not all there is. That however crazy this all gets, right? However crazy life gets, however sad life may get, it's not all there is. That we live with the hope of heaven, the hope of eternity. Look what he says here in verse 13, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have," what? "Eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Now, I'm not going to go too deep into this, but last week we talked about this idea. When he says that you believe, I'm writing to those who believe in Jesus as the Son of God. What he's saying is that you believe in more than just the historical figure of Jesus. That you believe in more than just, I believe there was a guy, his name was Jesus, and 2,000 plus years ago, he walked on the earth. He's saying, no, that's not the kind of belief I'm looking for. Well, I believe that Jesus was a good teacher and we should follow his teachings. Not the kind of Jesus that he's looking for. I believe Jesus was a prophet, that he somehow spoke for God in some ways. Not solely the person that Jesus or that John is writing about. He's saying, I need you to believe, if you're going to receive these promises, if these things are going to be anchors to your soul, the thing that you need to believe about Jesus is that, what does he say here? He's the Son of God. And when John says he's the Son of God, what he means is he's the promised one. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the one that comes and takes away the sins of the world. That's the Jesus John is inviting us to believe in. And I know many of you have. But that's the level of belief that he's saying. If you're going to hold to these promises, if they're going to be anchors to your soul, the first thing is you have to believe in Jesus. And we introduced this idea last week of this idea of these two words, born again. And remember, we talked a little bit that it has some negative connotation in our day and age, in our culture. What do people say? Oh, you're one of those born agains. And we talked about this last week, and we said, listen, actually, if you're a believer in Christ, you must be born again. You must be one of those born agains. Jesus says it himself in his conversation with the religious leader of the day, Nicodemus. He says, you must be born again. And when we say that term, what we mean is someone has moved from eternal death to eternal life, that they've trusted in Christ. They've moved from darkness to light. They now get this label. Have you been born again? You get this label as a child of God, a son and daughter of the King. And that happens when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who comes and takes away the sins of the world. You are then born again. And now he says these promises, they actually mean something. If you're that person, then you can anchor your soul deep into these truths that I'm about ready to share with you. And that first one, as we already had mentioned, is this. You live with the confidence of eternal life. You live with the confidence of having eternal life. Now, there's oftentimes people will call into the church and they'll say, hey, will you send a pastor to come and pray with my, I don't know, uncle, who I don't know where he stands with the Lord, and he's about ready to pass away. Would you come pray with him? And we obviously, absolutely would love to do that, right? And we go and we share scripture and we share who Jesus is. And there's always this thought process that goes on in my mind in that moment. This person has lived their entire life either being confused of what happens next or never knew what happened next. Lived with the fear of what if I die today, what happens next? And John's saying, for those who've anchored their soul in Christ, they don't wonder that. For those who have been born again, those who believe in Jesus, they don't wonder that. Well, you say, well, Jeff, well, how come they don't wonder that? Well, look what he says. I'm writing these things to people who believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. That you will know that. That it's not a question in your mind. You don't walk around thinking, well, what happens if something happens to me today? No, he says, listen, I want you to know with confidence that you have eternal life. And that comes from trusting and believing in the one and only Son of God. John 17:1 says this. John, the Gospel of John 17:1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh. So here we're talking about Jesus. He's got authority over all of humanity, right? Then he says that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. That Jesus is the way that we receive eternal life. And he says, Father, you have given me this ability to give people eternal life to those who have believed in me. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, the only one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So if the question is, Jeff, I don't know what happens when I die. Here's the answer. Believe in Jesus and live with the hope of heaven, the confidence of who you are in Christ. Is that a huge anchor? Come on. Is that a huge anchor? Yeah. The fact that you can throw whatever you want at me, but I know when I leave this earth, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ, to be present with the Lord. That's a huge, huge anchor that gives me great hope. Second anchor, anchor number two. And actually, I think we take this one for granted. I think we often overlook this privilege that we have that he's about ready to talk about. And here's anchor number two. For those who believe in Jesus, they can have the confidence that God hears them and he answers prayer. Let me say that again. For those that believe in Jesus and they call out to God in prayer, God hears them and he answers prayer. Huge privilege. Think about that for a second. You mean the God who created all things listens to me and answers prayers? That's an incredible privilege. So when I'm walking through those dark seasons and those hard moments of life, if I call out to God, you mean he hears my voice? Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, he'll answer prayers that I give to him. Yes. Look what he says here in verse 14. And anchor number two. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, look at these three words. He hears us. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Take that in for a moment. God hears us. Listen, we don't oftentimes even listen to each other, right? That maybe you have a spouse or a friend, you're like, I just have a hard time listening. And I know maybe some of you are nudging each other right now, like, that's him, right? That's her. She never listens, or he doesn't listen, right? We don't even listen to each other. And yet here, he's saying, God listens to you. The creator of all things, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who created and sustained life, he listens to your prayers. Your voice to him, you're calling out to him, he listens to you. And he says, when you come to him, come with, what's the word there? The C word, confidence. Come to him with confidence that he hears you. Think about that. He's saying, come to me with confidence, Jeff, that I'm listening and that I answer prayer. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this moment where you maybe did something you shouldn't have done, and you had to kind of admit it to your parents, to where you had to step into their room and say, Mom, Dad, I got to tell you something. And you didn't go with confidence all. You thought, man, this is going to go sideways quick, right? I don't have great anticipation that this is going to go well. Or maybe you've had to do that with a spouse, right? Where you're like, I've got to tell you something, but I don't think we're going to end up in good fellowship here, right? Or with a boss at work who you're like, I've got to admit, maybe I messed up along the way somewhere. And so you hated that conversation. You wanted to stay away from it at all costs. You had zero confidence in that dialogue and that conversation was going to take place. But what John's saying here is when you step into the presence of the Lord, come with confidence, knowing that God has you in mind, that he cares about you, and that he wants to hear from you, and that actually he wants to answer prayers. That come with that sort of confidence. Now, just to make a side note on this, it's not the confidence that comes with arrogance or pride before God into his throne room, right? None of us should have that. But instead, he says, listen, based on who you are in Christ, remember, he's talking to believers who are what? Born again, who are set free. He's saying, listen, for those people who are covered by Christ, you can come into the throne room with confidence. Hebrews 4:16, you could just jot it down. I'll read it to you. Hebrews 4:16. It says this, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He's saying one of the anchors to your soul should be the fact that God hears you, that he listens to you, and that he answers your prayers. As you pray, what does it say in verse 14? As you pray according to his what? His will. And again, super important that we understand this, that if I'm a follower of Christ, if I believe in Jesus and I'm born again and I'm set free, then my desire should equal God's desire. My heart should go for his heart. God, what is your will? God, make my heart like your heart. And he's doing that by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within you. So when we pray, then we pray what? According to his will and in his name. And what does he say then? I'll answer that prayer. Jeff, I'll answer that prayer. In fact, Jesus says it time and time again in the scripture. He says in John 14:12. You can just jot it down. I'll read it for you. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He says in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. We see this principle in Scripture. As we pray and we seek the Lord's will in his heart, he says, listen, I'm a God who answers prayer. Let that anchor your soul. In a season that you are feeling like the waves are hitting, the wind is pushing me out to sea, I need to be anchored in this reality that God listens to me and he answers my prayer. The idea is not, hey, I'll get whatever I want, right? The idea is I will pray according to his will. Now, he then gives us an example of one of these prayers. Hey, we haven't moved on to anchor three yet. Still in anchor two, God is listening to and answering prayer. And then he says, let me give you an example of one of those prayers. Now, there's lots of things we can pray for, but John says, let me just give you one of those examples. Verse 16, he says this, if anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask or he will pray, and he, God, will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Right? That's the look I got on all three services. Like, what does that mean? Like, that's super confusing. And I agree with you. And actually, if you look at all the commentaries, they're all kind of the same thing, which is like, yeah, okay, what does that mean? So let me do this. I want to read it to you in the Message Bible, which is a paraphrase. The Message Bible didn't set out to word for word translate the Bible. It's like, let me give you this, Eugene Peterson said, let me just give you this kind of a paraphrase. Like, give you a kind of an idea of what it could mean. And I'm going to read that because I think he hits it pretty well, makes it fairly understandable. And then we'll dive into it a little bit deeper. But know this, in the context of what he's talking about one of our anchors, which is God listens to you, he cares, and he answers prayer. And then he says, let me just give you an example. So here's the example in the Message. For instance, if we see a Christian believer sinning, clearly I'm not talking about those who have, you can kind of see the way the Message goes, which is cool. Clearly I'm not talking about those who make a practice of sin in a way that is fatal, leading to eternal death. We ask for God's help and he gladly gives it. Gives life to the sinner whose sin is not fatal. There is such a thing as a fatal sin, and I'm not urging you to pray about that. Everything we do wrong is sin, but not all sin is fatal. So that helps a little bit, but now let's unpack it even further. In fact, listen, what he's saying is when you see someone sinning, what should you do? Pray for them, right? My kids have not understood this. They think when they see their brother or sister sinning, they go and tattle on them, right? On a continual basis, by the way, I'm like, just stop. In fact, I shared this with them. I'm like, here's what the Bible says. You just pray for them. Don't come tell me about it. Just pray for them, right? And the idea here is really what he's saying is don't go somewhere else. Don't cast judgment on them if they're a brother and sister in the Lord. Don't say, oh my gosh, here she goes again. Oh, there they go. They're always doing that, right? Don't go tell someone else. Don't post it to social media, right? What does he say? Pray for them. Why? Because it matters. God's listening. God cares. And God answers prayer. The prayer is that they would become back to him again. That as they're living in a life of sin and they've known the Lord, the idea is this, that they would walk with him again. And maybe you have a son or a daughter or a grandchild who's in this situation at all. Maybe they knew the Lord, they knew of the Lord. Maybe they walked with him, but they're currently walking in sin. And he's saying, Jeff, pray for that person. I want to answer that prayer. I want them to come and walk with me again. Here's the idea. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the sin that leads to life and the sin that leads to death. Well, first of all sin leads to death. We can go all the way back to the very beginning, the Garden of Eden, and you have Adam and Eve, and death gets introduced in that moment that they sinned. In fact, then death is part of the human experience. All of us will physically die at some point, right? It's a reality that we all live with. But sin also introduces eternal death, eternal separation from a holy and righteous God. So in this light, sin can offer you both eternal death and physical death. It offers both of those things. And in fact, then the question is, well, how do I escape those things, right? And we won't escape physical death. We're all physically going to die. It's a consequence of sin. But then the question is, well, how do I know that I have eternal life instead of eternal death? And we already mentioned this, but I think it bears repeating that Jesus is the way we have eternal life. It's his blood that's shed for us, his death on the cross, his payment in our place, that then offers us this idea that there is not sin. All sin doesn't lead to eternal death. In fact, for those that have believed or born again and trusted in Jesus, actually, they're going to continue to sin at times, but they can go to the Lord and say, would you forgive me? And the Lord says, I put something in place for that. My son paid that price for that sin. And you don't have to enter into eternal death. And what he's saying here is pray for that brother and sister, for them to experience that life again. That they would step out of that realm of sin and perpetual sin and walking in sin. Instead, walk in the light. In fact, here's what 1 John chapter 1 says about this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. All right? So he's saying, listen, if you're born again, you're going to walk in the light. There may be, now, you're not going to be perfect, but you're going to walk in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And here's the key, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from how much sin? What does it say? All sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But listen, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. He says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, someone who goes on behalf of us to the Father, an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous, is what it says. So listen. There are going to be times, and this is what John's talking about, when you're going to see a brother or sister sinning, and you're going to say, I'm not going to go tattle on them, not going to post it to social media, not going to go tell my friends or my spouse, hey, you'll never believe what they're doing. No, I'm just going to pray for them because I believe that God hears me. I believe God hears my prayer, and he answers prayer. And that his heart, their heart, her heart would come back to the Lord again and walk with him. Now, he does say that there is this sin that leads to death. What is that talking to? I don't think he's talking about one particular sin. In other words, some people may say, well, it's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, right? You can't come back from that one, right? That's what the Bible says. You don't come back from that. And that's just the attributing the works of God, the things of God to the enemy. Right? And silencing the voice of the Spirit speaking within you, right? He's saying, listen, that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. William Barclay said this about the sin that leads to death. I think he covered it well. If someone allows themselves again and again to flirt with temptation and to fall, on each occasion the sin becomes easier. And if they think they will escape the consequences, on each occasion self-disgust and the remorse and the regret become less and less. And in the end, they reach a state when they can sin without a tremor. It is precisely that which is the sin which is leading to death. In other words, they become so hard to the things of the Lord that they no longer recognize him. They may even just flat out reject God altogether. And he's saying, listen, that's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous place. That is a sin that leads to death. The warning is don't become that. Don't fall into that place where you don't recognize sin. Because if you are born again, it says you will walk in the light. You will never say, I'm not a sinner. Oh, I don't sin. Right? Instead, you'll say, actually, I am a sinner, but I'm saved by the blood of Christ. I'm saved by grace. And I come to him on a regular basis and say, Lord, would you forgive me of your sins? And he is faithful and just, it says, to forgive us our sins and all unrighteousness. That's the heart of someone who says, listen, I'm a follower of God, fallen but saved. So Anchor number one, hope of heaven, eternal life. Anchor number two, that God listens to us when we pray and he answers prayer. And he gave us that example of one of those things that you could do is pray for a fallen brother or sister who's sinning. The third anchor, which means what? Because there's four halfway there, right? And here's the other thing. Three and four are shorter than one and two. So there we go. There we go. Here we go. Anchor three. For those who have believed in Christ, they will find security and protection in him. For those that have believed in Christ, they have become born again. They're walking with him. They will find security and protection in him as an anchor to their soul. Praise God. 18, verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God, here's that idea of born of God, born again, does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Whoever's been born of God is that term again, born again. And the idea, we don't need to cover it again, but they've moved from darkness to life, from darkness to light, from life, from death to life. They're now walking with Jesus in faithful, loving obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commands, Jesus says. This is someone who's born again, born of God. Your life is different. You see life completely different now. Then John says in this interesting little verse, he says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, which then contradicts everything that we believe, right? Holy cow, I still sin. Am I not born again? I think what he's saying here, and the way you could even work it out in the text, is that it's a perpetual life of sin. How could someone who's been born again go back to the way they used to live? Right? That's the question. Instead, those that are born again are going to walk in the light as he is in the light. And they're going to confess when they sin. They're going to say, I want to stay in the light. I want to stay walking with my Lord because I'm born again. He's saying, listen, those people will not go back to that old lifestyle again. You won't continue in that lifestyle of sin. Then he says, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. I think the better translation in this moment, and our anchor, by the way, is that he keeps us and protects us. The better translation is this, but he who has been born of God, who is Jesus in this text, who is Jesus, he then keeps us from the enemy. He then keeps us, keeps him, you and I, from the enemy, from sinning. I think Jesus is the one in this case, not you and I, who's doing the protecting. And in fact, we see this in Scripture. In John chapter 17, verse 11, Jesus says this. He's praying to the Father. He says, now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, my disciples, and I'm coming to you. And he says, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. In other words, protect them. Keep them in the faith. Keep them walking with us. Put them in your hand and protect them, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 12 of that same text says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Lord, I want you more than anything to protect their faith, protect them. As one of the anchors to our soul is when we trust in Christ, he's got our backs. He's got you. One of the fears you could have is, God, what's going to go on? And what are you going to do? And what's going on? I have all these things, all these big questions in my mind. And it's just like, hey, I got you. God is saying, I got you. Trust in me. Jeff, do you trust me? God, you know I trust you, but I got these things. No, stop. I got you. I got you. John 10, 27. We love this image of Jesus. He is the good what? Shepherd. He's the good shepherd. John 10, 27. Awesome verse that speaks of God's watching hand over you, protecting hand. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And the idea of knowing there is like, I just don't know about them. I deeply know them. I know my sheep. I know them inside and out. And they follow me. And I give them eternal life, Jesus says. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. My dad's bigger than your dad, right? That's kind of the idea there. My Father is bigger than your father. God, he's saying, my Father, he is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd. When I have my sheep, and he talks about the sheep pen, he says the enemy comes in and tries to rob, steal, and destroy, and tries to take my sheep out of the pen. But I'm the protector of my sheep, and he won't snatch anyone out of my hand. Let this be an anchor to your soul, that when you trust in Jesus, he's not letting you go. He's saying, I'm going to protect you till the very end. Put your faith in me. Put your trust in me. I will watch out for you. Anchor number one, hope of heaven, eternal life. That is an anchor that we live in. Anchor number two is that he hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. Woo, that's awesome. Anchor number three, he says, listen, I got you. I got you. I will protect you and I will keep you. I promised it when I was on earth. I'm in heaven now and I'm protecting you. I'm watching out for you. Anchor number four. For those who have believed in Christ, they will know the truth. Anchor number four. If you believe in Christ, you will know the truth. And let me just tell you, today, truth is a hot commodity, right? Who do we believe? Who do we trust? I don't know if you've been there this last year. It's like, what station do I listen to? Which podcast do I listen to? Because everyone says they know what's going on, right? Everyone's got the truth. And they're passionate about it, right? Oh, we are the truth. Come to us to get the truth, right? Where do we go to get truth? I found myself scratching my head like, I'm just not going to listen to anyone, right? Don't turn any TV show on. Don't turn the radio on. And even sports talk radio, which I tend to listen to every once in a while. It was just like, this isn't sports. And you're telling me your truth. And it's like, well, who's got that truth? I don't know. But what he says here is powerful. He says, listen, he says, when you come to Jesus, the anchor to your soul, you will know truth. Well, let's see what he says in verse 19. Here's what he says. We know that we are of God. Listen, this is important. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Take that in. He says, listen, the whole world lies under the persuasion, the sway, the control of the wicked one. Now, let's talk about that for just a second, because we know something. For God so loved the what? The world. So John has two different kind of views when he talks about the world. One side of it is our neighbors and our family members who don't know Jesus, who aren't born again. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe, be born again in him, shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life, as we've been talking about all morning. So there's one aspect that God says, listen, I'm after the world. I love the world. I didn't send my son, he goes on in John to say, to condemn the world, but to save the world. So there's this aspect that John says, God so loved the world. But then we talked a little bit about this last week. There's this other side of the world that's at work against God. There's a system, as he talks about here, the sway of the wicked one, the enemy that would say, I would love for no one ever to find out about this gospel, this whole Jesus loving thing, right? That Jesus died on a cross for sins. The world system says, I don't want you to know that. I want to keep you in darkness as long as I can. I don't want you ever to step foot and walk towards God. I'm trying to move you away from the living God. And he says the whole world lies under that sway, whether they recognize it or not. The world is under that control. But look what he says in 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us what? An understanding. That we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is what? True. And we, in fact, are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What's he saying there? He's saying when all the sway of the world is at work and the powers are at work to pull people away from God, you and I who were born again have as our anchor to our soul, we know the truth. We know the truth. In fact, Jesus says, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. I am the light of the world, right? I reveal truth and I reveal life, eternal life. Jesus makes that strong promise that you and I at some point, if you're a believer, believed in and trusted in. And he's saying, be careful because the sway of the world is at work around you. Now, I will just say this. This isn't a point of arrogance or pride, like we know the truth and you don't. Like, you know, I got this and you don't, right? That's not the idea here. The idea is we also, like our Heavenly Father, have a love for the people of the world who are walking in darkness, who have not seen the light, who are under the sway of the wicked one. Our heart then is to, with a fervor and passion, to go and share truth, to share who Jesus truly is, so that the world would live with those same anchors that we're talking about this morning. That is, there's confusion all around and people's boats are going out to sea because they're not anchored on anything and they're confused and they're wondering what's next and where do we go after this and is there even a God and does he even care? And we have anchors this morning that say, yes, absolutely. Anchor yourself to the truth who is Christ. And this is how we close off 1 John, this little P.S., verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And then he says, amen. I think the way that he's saying this is this. In the culture that he's teaching to and writing to, they grew up with idols in their home. Things that would they were offering to God, to gods. And he's saying, and again, note that at the very beginning of our text this morning, he says, I'm writing to those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's writing to believers and he's warning them against these idols that maybe they probably grew up with. And he's saying, be careful, keep yourself away from those things. Do we have idols today? Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe not graven images or little statues in our home, right? But we have things that dissuade us from loving and going after God with all that we are. We have things in our lives that would love to draw our attention away from loving God, from serving him, for giving him all the priority in our life. We have that, each and every one of us. At least we have ones that like to jump in it from time to time. Hey, remember me, come back to me again, right? We have those knocking at the door on a regular basis. Here's how I tie the anchors and the idols together. Oftentimes in my own personal life, when I start to question the anchors, it's because I've allowed one of those idols to come back. That oftentimes when my faith is tested and I feel weak or feel dull in my faith, where I'm questioning, and oh God, what are you doing? God, what's going on? Oftentimes it's because an idol has stepped back into my life again, where I've prioritized something over my love and worship and passion for the Lord. And I would suggest that same thing to you. If you find yourself here this morning and you're like, eternal life, ah, yeah, I can pray and seek the Lord. Yes. That if I just trust in him and I pray and Lord, he hears me. That's awesome news. That those things that he holds me and protects me, even though sometimes I get scared, I can trust that he protects me. If you question any of those things, then maybe I would suggest to you, maybe you'd take the warning, the heed the warning. And this, I would say, loving warning, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That instead you would choose to say, I'm going to rid all those idols out of my life. And when they pop up again, because they will, I will just say, that's not better than my God. My God gives me anchors to my soul. Isn't that awesome? Anchors to my soul. Pop quiz. Here we go. And this is where we're close. Of Shannon, come on up. And Brooke. Here's the quiz. Anchor number one is what? Eternal life. Anchor number two is what? Prayer. That he hears prayer and that he answers prayer. Anchor number three? He will protect you. He's got you. He's got you. Anchor number four? You know the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know him, and now just walk with him. Amen? Let's pray. God, you are good and you're gracious. I believe in this season, while Refuge has been an anchor to my family, and I know many families and many people who come to Refuge, this place has been an anchor, and these people who sit here this morning, and even those watching online, have been an anchor of truth. But Lord, we only represent you, who are the true anchor, the one that we can turn to at any point in our day and say, God, I need your stability in my life. Lord, I trust in you. I believe in you. I believe you hear me. I believe you offer eternal life. You protect me. Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you. And Lord, I believe when we make that comment, you really truly become the anchor to our souls. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.